This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yep, here we go. Final hour of the show. Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects. We do sports and things. Sometimes those things are balls, and sometimes you just have to deal with it. Some people take it better than others. You don't think that was he was upset about the fact that we were talking balls?
I didn't take it as such. I think he was just making a comment. I don't think he was actually upset. I don't think so.
Nick, did you feel like he was upset at the amount of time we spent on the topic?
Who was?
That guy. The caller? The Stormy Daniels joke guy. I don't think he was.
I think he was
just making a comment.
I mean, I didn't get that vibe at all.
No.
So.
I did.
Let's get... this could go bad. So, we had the anonymous lady call about her husband being hashtag blessed.
Or screwed, depending on the case.
Yeah, that's true. So now we've got anonymous husband on the line. So, anonymous husband, you're
up. Hubs?
Hello.
Yo.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
You tell us.
You're on the air.
Well, first of all, I will tell you 100% without a doubt that was my wife that called from my car.
That can't be the case.
I swear to God. And if you've got something, I know she called in, there's got to be some kind of caller ID. You asked me that question off air real quick. I'll tell you exactly what number it came from.
So this is really you.
Oh, my God. It's gotten so weird.
Dude, this is so funny. I feel like we're, like, making a love connection. So that was really your wife?
Yeah, really. And usually she's just busting my balls, not talking about it.
So now, I feel like she doesn't know how wide 7 inches is. Is she exaggerating?
No. It is not. They are not. I couldn't close my leg.
I was going to say, no, someone
couldn't walk.
Somebody brought up a good reference. Yeah. Think about a 6-inch Subway.
Yes. Somebody said sandwich. A Subway sandwich between your legs. You got to be bow-legged.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not possible. No.
But you will admit you do have big ones.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I haven't really.
Now, are you upset that she said you weren't well endowed?
I wouldn't go that far.
Of course not.
I just thought I'd rub it in.
Good answer. Good answer, husband.
Right, yeah.
And so now, is she going to be in trouble when she gets home?
No.
Okay.
Not in trouble, but.
Good.
I texted her.
Well, good.
A couple times,
but
she pretended to not know anything about it.
Now you're gonna pretend like you're asleep so she can measure them, right? You're not gonna. No, I mean, don't you know?
Let the dream team go to work.
Yeah, don't screw yourself out of that.
No, probably won't. Probably will not pretend to be asleep. If she's got to measure it, that's fine. I don't care.
That's awesome,
oh, man.
All right, you guys are awesome.
Hey, by the way, we do want to thank you. Thank you for having your station tuned in to ESPN 97.5 so she could hear that.
Yeah.
We do appreciate that.
Hey, absolutely. Love you guys.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Have a good day. All right, Fort Worth Jay has a Texans question.
What up, Jay?
What up, fellas? Hey, that last segment was kind of funny, so I don't really mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I got a question.
All right.
I saw something on Facebook about 2 weeks ago. It said Jerome Solomon reported that the Texans have like a... basically a list of every player that took a knee last year, and they are basically blackballed from having an opportunity to even work out for the Texans. Is that true? Because it's a two-part question, but if that's not true, then I'm just going
to
hang up.
All right, so to correct some of the facts about that, it's not a list of all of the players that took a knee. He said he had talked to some agents that spoke with two NFL agents who said word is the Texans aren't interested in any players who participated in pregame kneel downs. So they don't have a list that they're going by, but that was the word of two different agents, according to Jerome.
All right. So how much do y'all believe that? Like, I know y'all believe Jerome. They wouldn't lie to Jerome. I don't think so. Let's just say hypothetically, that's true.
Okay.
Right. Y'all heard about Stephen Clark last week, right?
No,
you didn't. All right, he's the guy that got shot 20 times in his grandmother's backyard.
Oh, in Sacramento with his phone.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
Yeah, with his phone.
And okay. they put the microphones on mute right after it happened?
Yep. their yeah. body cams.
Well, yeah. shortly after, okay, and now we just found out the people who killed, the police officers who killed Austin Sterling, getting off.
Yeah.
He's the one that got killed while he was laying down, face to the ground, handcuffed, and they shot him. So, remind me why Kaepernick was taking a knee again? See, it all died down.
Mm-hmm.
See, it all got real quiet. Everybody got real comfortable after the narrative was kidnapped and all the manipulation they've been spending in the media, making everybody look disrespectful to the country and all that. He was only taking a knee for the exact same thing that just happened. This ain't 2 years ago. This ain't Trayvon Martin. This ain't...
No doubt about it. Now, Jay, you saw what McNair said yesterday, right?
You said what?
You saw what McNair said yesterday in
on
two different fronts. He was talking about, and I'll have to bring the quotes back up for you, but he was, one, talking about the Carolina, Jerry Richardson, the owner that had all the allegations about harassment, and he basically tried to say, well, he was a lot of it was probably he was kidding, and tried to do that, and then was talking about the owner, the protests, and the fact that, you know, they're... I don't want to misquote him, so I'm going to try and bring it up from yesterday.
I've got the quote. So first of all, he said, I know Jerry. He's an outstanding person, a guy who was accused of sexual harassment. And he also said, McNair also said, quote, we're going to deal with player protests, our playing field. That's not the place for political statements. That's not the place for religious statements. It's the place for football. So that was his quote.
Wow. I'm going to leave it with this. And this is really to every Texans fan that's a minority listening right now. And really every NFL fan that's a minority. If an NFL owner and an NFL team is against the protest, then they're okay with the cause of the protest. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate the call forward,
Jay.
Yeah. I thought AJ made a great point yesterday on the Blitz when I was driving home. And he was talking about the fact that, what if somebody was doing something? You know, his point was keeping politics off the field is great, but he feels like it would only go one way. In other words, he was saying if somebody was making a political statement that Bob McNair agreed with, do you think Bob McNair would be trying to stop it? And I have to agree with him. I don't think he would.
I think here's the other unfortunate situation that we have to deal with within all this, because Eric Reed came out because he's still unsigned and he's arguably one of the top handful of safeties in this game. And he came out and made the statement, I won't protest the anthem next year. And I'm almost thinking, as much as it sucks, I feel like part of the reason why he's saying that is just so that he gets a job in the league next year and he gets interest from teams, because of the fact that he feels like the owners have just such a way of, for lack of a better term, I mean, it's like they're forcing their beliefs on their players. And the fact that,
I don't know that they're forcing their beliefs on their players as much as they're limiting their players to express their own beliefs.
Right. Yeah. But I'm like, here's a guy who's a free agent and he's making that statement. And I feel like he's only making it so that he can have a job next year, because look at how much time has passed in free agency and no one's kicking the tires and saying, I need a better safety. And Eric Reed is out there.
And the thing is, how else would you make a political statement outside of kneeing right now? I mean, I think most of it is just trying to get it to stop, because whether you agree with the political statement or the kneeling or not, it still brings negative attention, not just positive attention.
But what if, so here's to AJ's point, because I think it's a super valid point that it should be part of the overall discussion, because you can come out and say that it's not a place to make a political statement. But then if somebody, let's say that this was during the time of the Gulf War and or Iraq, and our troops were in Iraq and Afghanistan, and people, you know, that was a passionate thing. That was part, at one point, Obama was, hey, we're going to bring the troops home. That's partly how he got elected. So that was the thing. What if there were players that were kneeling and saying, you know what, I'm going to kneel for our troops overseas because I want them back safely? So he's taking a knee for the troops. He's saying, I don't want them to be at war anymore. I don't want them to be in harm's way. I want them home.
But I don't think
until they come home, I'm gonna kneel during the anthem in memory of them, or in you know, whatever.
I think a lot of fans won't just look at that. They'll say, well, he's still kneeling during the anthem and disrespecting the flag and all that other stuff. That's
no,
the
but
problem.
I'm saying, what if he wears a black armband or puts you know,
one fist up in the air.
One hand in the air. Not even kneeling, but just a sign to say, you know what, I'm not going to stop until the troops come home. Because now you're talking about the troops, and you're talking about you love the troops, and you want the troops safe, and you want them home. That's my point. They're upset that it's occurring in let's be real. You can say whatever you want. The reason the NFL owners are upset is because they feel like it's hurting their pocketbooks.
Absolutely.
End of story.
It's a negative.
It has nothing to do with disrespecting the anthem.
And it's negative pub.
Exactly. And so that, I think that's two-faced to them to say that, because if it was a positive political statement or representation, they'd be happy to do it.
But put yourself in the owner's shoe. You don't want negative pub, and you don't want to get hurt in the pocketbook. What do you do? How do you react?
Well, I mean, it's a slippery slope.
It is, but the right thing to do is you still have to. There's rules and there's laws in this country, and freedom of speech is one of them. And I think you're right. But AJ did make a good point, and Barry, you illustrated better, and that is that they're, it's almost like they're out is because it's the anthem. But at the same time, you know, however they protest, whoever protests, however they do it, the owners are still going to feel like it's bad because it's taking money out of their pocket. But they're not focused on the real issues, and they're not giving the proper respect to their players as human beings that have a right to express themselves.
I'm okay with, like, I've always said I was okay with it. I just think that to a certain point, he's going to have to be forced to make a decision, because when people continue to kneel, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get negative pub. They're going to get hurt in the pocketbooks. And if you're not a winning team.
But Barry, don't you both think that even if it wasn't the anthem, if everybody, like, for instance, everybody put their left hand in the air and they stood for the anthem, that it would still be a huge issue for the owners?
I think what it is I find it hilarious that people want to find a way to compromise freedom of speech by saying, you know what, don't kneel. But if you stand in solidarity with your hand on your shoulder, how are you to tell them how to protest? Mm-hmm. That would be like saying, hey, look, I forget the gentleman's names, but in the Olympics, the Black Power, Black Fist.
Yeah, was it Jesse Owens?
It wasn't Jesse Owens. I forget, and I should know this, and I can't think of them offhand. But it would be like saying, hey, you know what? Just don't wear the glove and maybe just make a fist, but don't hold it in the air. But wear the glove, but don't put it in the air, but make the fist, but keep it by your side, or put a black glove hand over your heart. Or how are you to tell them how to express themselves?
No, I'm with you. I think the other thing is there enough evidence, significant evidence that's been presented out there that says their pocketbook is really being affected? Because if it is, I've been covering the Texans for the past three seasons, the Rockets for the past three seasons, the attendance looks about the same.
It's not, I'm with you.
That's what
now,
I'm saying.
What it is it's national sponsorships. It's the NFL. It's Papa John's. That's the kind of things where you might see, I hate to say it, but, you know, it's that good old boy network where you got a lot of good old boy advertisers that are have the ear of the good old boys in the NFL, and they're saying, hey, man, we don't lack this. And they're like, yeah, we're on it. Don't worry. We're going to put it. Dude.
But to my point, though, do you agree?
By the way, it was
Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
John Carlos and Tommy Smith.
Yep. Yeah. But don't you think, though, that regardless of how they protest, you're right, they can't tell them how to protest either. But don't you think regardless of how they protest, owners are still going to have a problem with it?
Sure. But the funny thing to me is you say it's not political, but yet that's what rolling the flag out is. That's what honoring the military and that's all part of politics. That's all part of politics. So you can't say that it's not, if you're saying that the field isn't a place to make a political statement, then why are you doing the national anthem? Because we don't do the national anthem just about anywhere else.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I get it, you're honored in the country, but if I live in this country and there's freedom of speech, then I should be able to have that opportunity.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to stay on this, it looks like, because we got callers lining up. But right now I want to tell you about that team that's has the best record in the NBA, not only in the Western Conference, but overall it's the Houston Rockets. And you know that with Chris Paul in tow, the Rockets are going to make a run in the playoffs, and they're probably going to be competing for a championship for the next couple of years. Why not lock your season tickets in now for the next 3 years? And when you do so, if you do it with club seats, you don't get any ticket increase prices for the next 3 years. You lock in for one price only, and that's all you pay is one price for 3 years with no potential increases coming along the way. You know how teams do it. They get successful. They start winning, and the prices go up. It's not going to happen to you. If you lock into these club seats, it's a three-year VIP plan. It's club seats only. All of the price levels are on sale now as well if you want season tickets, but you can lock in for these club seats, and you can lock it in for one price. Rockets.com, 713-627-DUNK has all the information. And right now, because this is a first-time ever offer from the Rockets, if you get on this plan, you now get priority for this year's playoff tickets as well. You know how hot a commodity those tickets are going to be come playoff time, and playoffs are right around the corner, gang. 8 games or less left in the NBA season, so you know everybody's going to want to go. You will be going because you will have priority for this year's playoff tickets if you lock into this plan. Check it out. 3 special seasons, 1 special price. It is a great deal, and there's plenty more to be had on other season tickets as well. Rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. Almost 30 minutes in now as we continue to roll on. Casual conversation, sometimes, as we know, can spur a lot of people on. So
a lot of the texts are saying, well, it's because they're at work. That's why they can't make those political statements. It's because they're at work. And I think my response to that is valid point. You know, if you work at a bank, you well, what was that cake place that refused to make cakes for gays?
I don't know.
Because they were like, we don't like that, and we're not making you kind of cake or whatever. But that was the owner. So yeah, in certain instances, you can't be like, hey, you know what? I don't believe in gay marriage, so I'm not going to make your deposit at this bank. So yeah, you can't do that. But there are some jobs where you can. Guess what? You and I and Nick can come on this show and make a political statement, and we're not going to get in trouble for it unless we violate some rule by the FCC. But
or
I
ownership.
Can make a political statement, and you know, they're going to be, they may not agree with it.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm allowed to do it.
I Googled
and
it.
I'm at work.
It was a baker in Colorado who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
Yep.
So that's what it was.
So it does happen in work too.
Mm-hmm. And I think,
but it's a valid
different.
Point.
It depends on your job, right?
Yep.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And in the NFL, where you're in the public eye and you have a bigger audience and you have more freedom than you're with your job to begin with.
Certain forms of the entertainment industry afford you the ability to do certain things. And some people are passionate enough to make a statement to try and help others or bring attention to things, issues.
Yep.
All right, let's get through the calls. Barry, you pick them. We'll stick them. Let's go.
Let's go with Mark first.
Mark, what's up?
What's good, fellas?
What's up, man?
Yeah, man, I wanted to clarify that this isn't a political issue at all. Why people insist on calling it a political issue when it's in fact a social issue, like breast cancer is a social issue, like domestic violence is a social issue. The NFL allows that. I think calling it a political issue is a way for them to say there's nothing wrong with society the way it is, and someone should explain the difference between a social issue and a political issue to those 32 homies. That's all I got, and I hang up to the issue.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you.
I think the reason, though, part of the reason why a lot of people are dubbing it a political issue is because when Colin Kaepernick initially started this, he included politics in a lot of his rants and the way he approached it. And that doesn't necessarily make it a political issue, but he definitely had a political stance in a lot of things that he said when he initially took the knee. So,
well, there's, to me, when you've got a debate such as this that's so divisive, when your president is coming out and saying, and again, whether you agree with anybody, he's like, you know what, it's disrespectful to kneel. If they want to stand and lock arms, that's the way to protest. Which my big problem with that is not what side of the aisle that he's on and what he chose.
You're telling them
how they can exercise their right to free speech.
Right.
Some people's argument is it doesn't matter what kind of issue it is. They don't have free speech at work. That's not necessarily true either. I mean, when you've got reporters in your face with a microphone wanting your opinion on things, guess what? You have a right to your opinions. And if your opinion is that there's a issue in this country with violence amongst African Americans and the police, then that's your opinion. So why am I allowed to say what I want in the locker room, but I can't say it out here?
Well, yeah, and the other thing is obviously everything has consequences, but at the same time, you're always free to express your opinion wherever you are. It's unfortunate, but in certain jobs, certain employers will react to that and do what they feel like they need to do because you've done that. But yeah, you're right. Like we said, in the entertainment industry and otherwise, look, it's maximizing the opportunity that you have to make a difference with a lot of people that are in the entertainment industry, like you said, because they are given a situation that not everybody is given, but because they are one of the chosen few that get to, they want to use it for positive change.
And, all right, this is going to sound like I'm wishy-washy, but I'm trying to make points on both sides. Mm-hmm. The owners do have the right to not hire a person because of their political views. That is absolutely within their right to do that. So if they don't like the fact that you've protested, they have the right to do that. Just like they would have the right to not want to hire a guy that's a neo-Nazi because they don't agree with that. And would anyone be like, oh, well, you're not going to hire that guy because he's just came out as a neo-Nazi?
And this gets back to the initial call.
They have the right to not want to hire you.
Whether or not the Texans have such a list or have an opinion and a feeling like that, that gets back to that point.
Where you have to be careful, where the owners have to be careful is if they all get together. Because then you're talking about collusion.
Yep.
But if Bob McNair decides, I'm not going to hire anyone that protests the national anthem, how much different is that than to say if... I don't know. I would love to use a black owner as an example. But how different would it be if another owner said, you know what? I'm not hiring anyone that's a neo-Nazi. I'm not doing it. And I'm pretty sure all of them would take that stance and nobody would have a problem with it. They have the right to hire and fire as they see fit.
Yep. It's hard, but that's hard for a lot of people to accept.
So I get it. I get it. But it's their business. And as long as they don't violate any rules...
Skip, Marcus, we see you. Eric, too. Hang tight. We got a half hour to go on the big show. We got to take care of some business, pay some bills, and we'll be right back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
I'm breaking my real bad. I'm breaking my real bad. I'm breaking my real bad. I'm still born to be right there. I gotta
work my way. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final half hour. Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio here, ESPN 97.5. We were talking about all of this surrounding Bob McNair's comments and the anthem. And positive news out of Texans camp. Deshaun Watson is ahead of schedule, according to Bill O'Brien. At OTAs, he's expected to be throwing at some point. So, hey, there's something to look at.
Positive. Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Now
we're so close to OTAs.
That's true.
And then training camp. We'll have a countdown for that because the baseball countdown ends Thursday. All right, well, we got some more calls that were still lined up on the protest. Let's get through them, Barry. You pick them.
Yeah, Skip's been holding a while. Skip wants to talk protest. Skip, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
First of all, I want to thank you guys for the diversity. You know, one day you guys are on here acting a fool, and the next day we're talking about real talk. So past that, I agree with Nick, okay? You can say that this is about race, and you can say this is about politics, but when it comes to the owners really don't care about race. They don't care about politics. They care about money, okay? And if you have somebody that's working for you, and they either have the potential to stop money from coming into your pocket, then that guy's got to go. I mean, if you own a snow cone stand and you got a guy that's causing people not to buy snow cones, that guy got to go. Billionaires don't become billionaires because they don't know what they're doing. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate this call. Good call, Skip. Yeah.
Good call, man. Appreciate that. Definitely.
All right. So we're going to take one more call on this, then we'll move on. We don't want to spend, you know, several hours on it. We, like Skip said, we're pretty diverse. We give time to it, but so this will be the last call for today. I'm sure this topic will come up again on this show, and you guys will have a chance to give your opinion. But we'll go to Marcus now. Marcus wants to talk protest. Marcus, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good.
What's up, man?
Let's just face it. I mean, this just has everything to do with nobody wants to talk about whatever social issue is out there. It has nothing to do with politics, and people want to turn it into politics, but no one just wants to flat out just talk about and discuss any social issues, and that's the big problem with this. They want to turn it into a protest and turn it into the military and the American flag, which I seem to find that point ironic, because everybody that has a problem with this military and turning that into it has never been in the military. But that's another story. But no one really wants to talk about the social issues. This has nothing to do with money at all. The owners are going to make money regardless. People are going to pay tickets, watch the football games. Football is football regardless. I mean, if you have, for instance, Colin Kaepernick, that's not a quarterback right now, but yet Blaine Gabbert got signed today. But years ago, Dante Stallworth, drinking and driving, killed the man and ended up on the field the next year. So don't tell me that this is about money or it's about anything else. It's flat out, no one just wants to talk about social issues just because it just makes people uncomfortable. And that's the flat out answer.
Appreciate the call, Marcus. I will disagree on one thing. And he said that they're going to make money regardless. As to Skip's point, they want to make as much money.
Yeah, they want to maximize their profit.
If they feel like, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, because to be honest with you, I haven't cared enough to look it up. But if they feel like that their ratings are down, and I can tell you, I know several people that did not watch an NFL game this year. Not one. Now, are they a Nielsen, you know, box and all that? Then that's not necessarily the case. But if ratings dip, that means advertising dollars are going to go down. That means the NFL is going to make less money and the owners are going to make less money. So it can be about the money. I just want to disagree with that part. I do think it can be. I'm not going to comment one way or the other the other stuff. We'll just let everyone have their say. But yes, it absolutely can affect the bottom line.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
So
and he made some good points along the way too. But you know, even the Dante Stallworth thing, that was, I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's different. He shouldn't have never been on the field again, for sure. But at the same time, I mean, that was a totally different issue that, you know, drunk and killed somebody. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL thing. Oh, well, let's take. I wanted to read this real quick though.
Go ahead.
This story about Mike Zimmer and Teddy Bridgewater and the knee and the Vikings.
Did not hear it.
I found that to be kind of interesting. He said, they were talking to Mike Zimmer about Teddy Bridgewater. He said, well, I thought he was doing good in practice. The reports I'd get back from the medical people weren't as positive as I was. That's kind of how it came down. They said his knee wasn't. They saw there was some recovery he needed to do. But when I watched him practice, he moved well. I didn't see limitations, but from what I was told, there were some. So what you're finding out is that decision to keep Bridgewater was a medical decision. They didn't feel like that his knee was fully healthy, that it was where the medical staff was worried about his knee more than Zimmer, I guess, and Bridgewater and everybody else.
That's also a can of worms, because now your medical staff is supposed to make sure, from a standpoint, he's not playing until he's fully healthy, and to, you know, reveal all these things, and hopefully they communicated all those things, because it's kind of on your watch, on your dime, to take care of him until he is fully healthy too, and also prevent him from re-injuring it until he's cleared.
Yeah. Zimmer said it was out of my hands. It was more about, like, when you get a physical on a guy and his knee is A, B, C, or D, or whatever it was as a long-term thing, could be nervous. Yeah. That was his exact quote. But I think what he's saying is it made them more nervous. But you got a team like the Jets, so you got to be wondering if you're a Jets fan or you're the Jets, did we miss something? Or were they too conservative when it comes to Bridgewater's knee?
And think about it. The receiver from the Redskins, Grant, that went and signed the was going to sign the multi-year deal with the Ravens, I think it was. And then he took his physical, and they were like, your ankle looks pretty bad. We're not going to do that. Pulled it off the table, and he ended up having to sign a one-year deal.
Yeah. Sucks.
Crazy.
All right, Eric has a call. He wants to talk Ronda Rousey.
Do you guys want to play the audio first?
Do you have it?
Do you have it?
Well, let's get...
Or do you want to get the call first?
Let's take Eric's the call, and then we can hear the audio. Eric. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was wondering if y'all saw the interview today on Golic and Wingo. Around the 30-second mark, her and Golic, well, she had a weird exchange about going back in time, and I think she's just being defensive. And later on, when she was on first take, she was just calling out. Well, not calling out, but Max Kellerman was like saying, hey, how do you feel about people saying that you lost? And she goes, when you mean you people, do you mean you? And she was very combative today. I don't know. I'm just wondering if y'all saw that.
Appreciate the call, Eric. So we got a little bit of the audio. Let's run that and find out what Eric's talking about, and then we can comment, because I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't either.
Why do you think there was a kind of negative backlash to you after the loss? In other words, people, you must be aware, in the MMA world, there was a lot of talk, well, she was overrated, she was this, she was that, and my point of view was, at the time and remains, that you achieved amazing heights. Almost no one wins forever. Everyone suffers setbacks. But there seemed to be like an unusual amount of negative pushback after your loss. Did you not experience that?
I experience a lot of people who quote some people that are really just afraid to state their own opinion.
Do you think it's my opinion? No, that's not my opinion. I can tell you right now, it's not my opinion. I thought you achieved amazing things. I was and am, remain a big fan of your fighting and of you. That's not me saying some people meaning me. That is me saying I read and heard from others and defended you.
Well, thank you for defending me. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Ooh. She's a little...
I don't know. I wouldn't use the word combative, but it's not really a big secret that Ronda Rousey did not deal with losing.
She's good. I was going to ask you guys. You guys are experts on this, not me. But the thing that I noticed, and I'll remember from it, is how long it took her to come back to talk about it, to even come, like, resurface. It's like she just wanted to go off the planet, off the grid for a while. And it was a long time, it seemed like, before she even wanted to at least address it.
I think when you have someone that was as dominant as Rousey was, when you have someone that reached a level that no other woman in the sport had reached from a fame perspective, monetarily,
yep,
dominance. I mean, she was the Muhammad Ali of women's MMA. There was none greater. She walked the walk. She talked the talk. She did all that. And that fall
was just massive.
It wasn't a stumble. When she got knocked out by Holly Holm, that fall was so steep and so quick.
Sudden, yeah.
And that I don't think she was prepared to handle that because she hadn't lost. That's the thing. When you see a lot of these guys get to the mountaintop, they've already lost a couple times. They understand what it's like. She had never gone through anything like that in her career, and I don't think she knows how to handle it to this day.
No,
obviously.
And the problem, I mean, I think one of the things that bothers her is everybody calling her overrated, and I actually agree with her in that realm because she did defeat great fighters. She did defeat good fighters. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to beat them. The other thing is she was kind of a type of fighter in some of her fights, not all, where she kind of had to hate you to fight you.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have that and you lose, the fall is greater. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the female,
yep,
she got beat. I forgot who she lost her. It was Rose Namajunas who she lost her belt to.
Thug Rose.
She cried. She was the toughest lady ever fighting in that division. And then when she lost, it was a terrible loss for her. So when you have that anger when you're beating up on everybody, the loss is that much more bitter. And people started calling her, like Shannon Sharp was one of the guys that I disagreed with. He does the show with Skip on FS1.
Yep.
He's like, she really wasn't that good. No, buddy, she was good.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Ronda Rousey was overrated. I think she was just one-dimensional and people didn't recognize that.
And then when people learned it.
And I would say, I mean, she's lucky that she's as good as she is at that one dimension. But she finally met somebody that was the opposite of what she was. Ronda Rousey was a beast on the ground. She had great judo, so you couldn't tie up with her. You couldn't get in a clinch with Ronda Rousey because you were going to end up on your back and get armbarred. You didn't want to go to the ground with her, but she was not a good striker. And Holly Holm was the opposite of Ronda Rousey. She was a world-class striker, great boxer, great footwork. It was knocking people out left and right with head kicks. She has a bad ground game.
Yeah.
And guess what? Her strength beat Ronda Rousey's strength, and I don't think she was overrated. She was just outclassed and outmatched on her feet.
Yeah, the first, I forgot how many fights, 6 or 7 fights. They were all by armbar. They were all by armbar. Submission.
That's right.
And then when she ran into someone like an Amanda Nunes or someone else who's a black belt, it's like, what do I do? Because I can't knock her out.
And you can't submit her.
Because
your judo armbar isn't going to work.
Exactly.
That's why I let you guys speak on it. I don't want to be Shannon Sharp and speak on something that I'm not educated enough on. But what I will say is it's like having enough tape on an opponent.
Yep.
When you finally get enough video on an opponent to realize what their strengths and weaknesses are, you can combat that and you can strategize towards it and you can make yourself better in those areas.
Exactly.
And you're right, because Holly Holm had a fantastic game plan when she fought Ronda Rousey.
Amanda Nunes, same thing. She wasn't going to go to the ground with her.
Yep.
So there you have it. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7, and it all happens right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Last segment of the show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, it's Tuesday. We've decided way back Wednesday, tomorrow is going to be the year 1980. Chris, and happy birthday to you.
Mandy had a suggestion. Before we go, we should hear Mandy's suggestion. Songs you can cuddle to.
So we're taking Chris's suggestion as a happy birthday
and an appreciation, Mandy,
to the loyal listenership.
Mandy's loyal.
And Mandy,
very loyal.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
And Mandy, thanks for playing, and maybe next time.
There's nothing wrong with second place, Mandy.
Except for when you do it. Except for when you criticize me and Nick when you always say,
what? That y'all come in second?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
So is your list done yet, Joel?
No, not yet. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll get it to you before I leave.
That wouldn't surprise me. I'm not going to be surprised at all. Hey, Jacob asked about the Canelo Triple G fight. Canelo got popped. Did you see that?
He did. Mexican meat again.
Yeah, they better hope that defense holds up or everybody's going to miss out on a big payday.
I asked AJ about it yesterday. He said the fight is not officially canceled, but as corrupt as boxing is, I'm going to throw out a little prediction here and say it will continue.
You're probably right. It wouldn't surprise me if they did something like, we'll suspend this and come back later. We'll reconvene in July. Oh, how convenient, since the fight's May 5th.
I didn't ask AJ if he thought it would happen anyway, but I'm just going to put that out there. It's just too corrupt.
Yeah, we'll see.
Can I ask you guys something about this, getting back to Rousey just for one second?
Sure.
Would that be the equivalent of how Floyd Mayweather would handle it if he finally lost after...
I would agree.
I think because Floyd hyped himself, but I don't know. He wasn't undefeated in his amateur career, was he?
No, I just think it's the stuff.
I don't know if he was or not. I just know as a pro, his big billing card is always that he, was
undefeated. Yeah, he had 6 losses as an amateur. And somebody made the point, Adam said Ronda got a silver in the Olympics, so she lost. But I think in both cases, it's different. In the amateur ranks, you expect to lose. That's where you're getting your seasoning. In the Olympics, it's about sport. It's not about image. She wasn't the Ronda Rousey that we know of now. She was a big deal in the judo world. But it's a whole different thing when you become the face of a franchise, when you become an icon, when you become a legend. overnight and you're making that money and there's that those expectations that you put on yourself, that the world puts on you, that's a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. It's same with, the, you know, like a Floyd Mayweather as an amateur boxer. So I think, yeah, it would be a bigger fall from grace, but at least he experienced it.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there because, yeah. You know, I'm just trying to put comparable situations.
Some context around.
Yeah, but in the context, exactly right.
I've never seen anybody handle a loss, in at least in MMA, as bad as she did.
Yeah.
I remember because they did an interview, the judo girl that defeated. It was either before Ronda's first loss or after Ronda's first loss. MMA Junkie did a interview with the girl that defeated her in judo. And I think she was kind of speaking on her, you know, winning mentality and the fact that she absolutely hated losing. So,
and that's what drives people. I mean, most people hate losing that are great athletes.
Look at
me. That's true. Most people, I don't know how you do it every Wednesday after you lose because you
hate
it.
That's not true, and I knew you were going to do that.
but I think that, yeah, it becomes different when you get out of that realm. But, I mean, at one point, she talked about suicide.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was for her when she lost the first time.
And I was watching an interview on The Breakfast Club, and they were interviewing Sinbad. You guys remember Sinbad,
sure,
of course, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking about sometimes people choose comedians or players or whatever that are not as good as you, but they put them on, you know, they put them on a higher pedestal. They just become like, there's a lot of comedians. They won't say it right now because Kevin Hart is really hot. Dave Chappelle is really hot. But Sinbad was like, I'll go one-on-one with no script with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like with no hesitation, I'll have just as much wits. I'll go one-on-one with anybody. But sometimes the world chooses other people, even though you're better than them, and you just kind of, are you going to be a hater or you're not? That's basically what he was saying.
That's a great point.
It all comes around to the court of public opinion. If people all of a sudden anoint someone because of hype and the hype game and the hype train, it can be as dominating from a media and attention standpoint as any success on the actual playing field.
I see it all the time in comedy. You look at a guy, even at my level, which is nothing, I'll see guys getting work or winning things or doing things, and you think, I've worked with them. They couldn't follow me. They struggled when I got off the stage and then they got on after I just had a great set and they couldn't follow me. I mean, and you see that, and you can do two things. You can pout, or you can be like, whatever, he got his, no big deal, I'll go get mine. It's a big world. There's plenty of stages, there's plenty of accolades, there's plenty of, like, there's not one, I hate to use the phrase, king of comedy. There are tons, I mean, right. there are tons out there.
Full
so
circle.
It's just how petty you get.
Politics and everything, too. Yep. And yep. The politics play a bigger role. I grew up in a neighborhood where I wasn't with the parents that were all tight, and all the parents were the coaches. And my dad just said, hey, you got to work that much harder. You got to bust your butt that much more, but it's going to be that much more satisfying when you still make the All-Star team because there's no way they can keep you off, as opposed to Paulie's dad, who's going to pick his two best friends even though they both
always
suck.
Yeah, it's a great point because that's what I was frustrated at one point about year two in comedy because I knew I was doing better than a lot of the other guys, but they were advancing and I wasn't. And somebody told me, dude, just all you can do is control what you can control. Just be funny.
Yep, do you.
And be so funny that they can't deny you. And that was it. And that's.
And I actually believe Sinbad. I believe Sinbad could go up against a lot of comics that are way more famous than him, and he would just burn them. And then they would. He would say the ones that are much better, not as good as you, they know not to go against the ones that are better, so they don't ruin their hype.
There's a lot of great comics that they'll take on the road with them, inferior comics, because they don't want to look bad. If the guy in front of them, because you're supposed to be the man, you're supposed to be the headliner. There's some comics out there that don't have enough confidence in what they do and how good they are.
I told you
that they'll put on weaker comics in front of them just because.
I told you it's like the TV guys that on sports on TV, and they want to take a guy and they encourage him not to dress up and not to look the part, so that at least they feel like they have that kind of dominance over them, that they have a leg up on them, because they know that this person coming on the show might look smarter than me.
That's crazy.
But it's true.
So true.
Yep.
All right, good way to wrap it up there. Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. It is for Songs of the Year 1980.
I just sent my list, by the way.
Outstanding job by you. Congratulations. We'll continue to work on ours. You guys keep working on you. And do you, as Barry said. And that's the best advice we can give you. And until then, do the Blitz, too. They're coming up next. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.